Today we take a break from theory and we relax a little bit. I'll show you a few applications of unconstrained optimization. Okay? I'll show you, I guess, three or four problems which can be modeled as an unconstrained optimization problem. Actually, it is more difficult to find application of unconstrained optimization than applications of constrained optimization. Because when you have a problem, which you want to model, somehow you have some constraints. Okay? You speak about some problem where money is involved, okay? Except some particular case, money is a quantity which is greater or equal than zero. Okay? You speak of speed, you have to choose some speed, and maybe it doesn't make sense. The absolute value of the speed must be surely a positive number, and so on. So it's not that easy. First example I want to show you comes from physics. Okay? So, indeed, Euler said that everything that happens in the universe somehow has hidden some principle of minima or maxima. It's a very famous statement. And I'm just showing you a very simple example. Suppose your world, your universe is this plane. Okay? And suppose that half of the plane is made of some mean, homogeneous mean. I mean, it's water, for instance. And the other half is air or some gas, okay? A different mean. Okay? Both homogeneous but a different mean. And let's suppose that the separation between the two means is given by this vertical line. Okay? And when you, let's say this is mean number one and this is mean number two. Okay? Let's suppose that when you are in a mean, in one of the two homogeneous mean, the speed is constant. Okay? You can imagine the speed of what? The speed of the wave, the speed of the ray of light, or something like that. Okay? So, the way you move in this mean is with speed v1 and in this other is with speed v2, which are given. Okay? And suppose you want to go, or you want your wave or your ray to go from some point P here in the first mean to some point Q here in the second mean. Okay? The question is the following: which is the fastest path? Okay? I can go from here to here along this path, along this other path, and so on. Any curve that connects the two points. Okay, we need to model this problem somehow. Since we are in a plane, first thing is, let's choose some axis, okay? Since the separation surface line, actually, is an X, let's take this as an X, okay? And let's give some orientation. Let's say we take this one, okay? These are choices, just to make the model easier. And, okay, let's choose another orthogonal axis and One good thing would be, for instance, to take the orthogonal axis which passes through, for instance, P. Okay? So that now we are in a system with Cartesian axis. Okay? In R2. It's pretty simple. Now we need to choose length units. Okay? Well, this is the origin, which will be 0, 0. So one simple idea could be, okay, let's choose this as the unit length. Okay? In such a way that the coordinates of P are exactly minus 1, 0. And, okay, other thing about Q. Let's say that here the first component of Q is clearly positive in the way which I have chosen the axis. And, well, I could choose the axis with this direction or with this other direction. Let's choose the one I wrote earlier, so that in this way we know that Q, we don't know the coordinates, is Q1, Q2, but both of them are positive. Okay? So then now we have the mathematical tools to formulate the problem. Actually, there are some physical information which is still missing. Consideration that we can have. Okay, until you are inside a unique mean, which is homogeneous, your speed is constant. Okay? So, at some point I will have to cross the separation line. Let's say I can cross it here, I can cross it here, but which is the fastest way to go from P to this point or this other point? Since the speed is constant everywhere here, what would you do? Yeah. Okay, the fastest path is the line connecting the two points. Okay. So we can restrict two lines. Okay. For instance, this if I want to cross the separation surface, the separation line here, this will be the fastest path to go there. And in the same way, in the second mean, this other line will be the fastest path. Okay? And if I want to cross the separation line here, then this is the best path in which you cross the separation line here. These are two different possibilities. Okay? So, if you think of the problem as a decision problem, what am I asked to choose? Once I have chosen the point at which I cross the separation line, then the best path is identified. The best path with respect to that crossing point. Okay? So my only choice is, the only thing I don't know is where to cross this. Okay? And this will be a point whose coordinates are 0 and some unknown value. Okay? Some unknown value, let's say x. This is point 0, x. Once I have chosen X, you have a path. Okay? We want to find the fastest. How do we choose? Well, we choose it. Well, it's simple. We need to know how much time I need to go through this path and how much time I need to go through this other path. But how much time do I need to go from here to here? The speed is constant. So it is enough to know how much this is long, the length of this path, and we divide it by the speed. Okay? Basics of physics. So, first information, how long is this? Well, this is a triangle, these are the two sides, and this is long 1, and this is long x. Okay? So, this length is 1 plus x squared below the square root. So the length of that segment is 1 plus the square root, so sorry, 1 plus x squared, everything under the square root. If you want to see it in a different way, it is also the distance between these two points. Okay? If you apply the definition of the distance to F, which is the norm of this point minus this point, the difference has coordinates minus 1 x, and so that is the norm of that graph. So, this is the time I need to get to the separation surface. Then, I need to know the length of this segment. Okay? Once again, here you can see it as a triangle. The length of this is Q1. And this value is Q2, so this is Q2 minus X. Okay? So, the length of this segment is Q1 minus 0 squared plus Q2 minus x squared, everything under the square root. Okay? So, that is the length of that segment. You divide it by the speed and you find the time you need to cross that part of the path. So, the time I need to go from P to Q depends on X in this way. Okay? So, this is a function of X. X is a real number. F goes from R to R. So, we are in the easiest case. You have the calculus tools since your first year. Okay? Please remark that the speed and the coordinates of the points are given, okay? And are given numbers. What I want to do is to choose some x such that this quantity is minimized. So, the choice of the fastest path is nothing else than this optimization program. Minimize this F all over the ULAR. Okay. If X is this one, I will have a certain value. If X is this other one, I will have a different value. And so on. So, So I formulated the problem. Okay? We know how to solve it, actually. First remark. F is a complex function. Okay? There are many ways you can check it. You can check all the one of the characterizations I gave you, or more simply, you can simply check that we know that the norm is a convex function, and this is the norm of a given point minus, let's give a name, so let's call this C of X, this point, okay, or C of X here. It's the distance is the norm of P, which is given as minus C of X. And you can check, and that is convex, because it's a linear, you compose a linear function with the norm, which is convex, and the same for the other one, okay? If you don't trust me, compute the second, you can compute the second derivative and check that it is positive everywhere. The fact is the following. The function is convex, the constraint doesn't exist, it's the full space, so we know by the last lecture that minima are exactly the points at which the derivative is zero. Okay? While in general, asking that the gradient is zero, or in this case, since we are in R, the derivative is zero is a necessary condition. But the F is convex, so this is a necessary and sufficient condition. The unique thing you have to solve this problem is to compute this derivative and ask it to be zero. So I compute the derivative here, I take the derivative of this term, it's the square root, so the derivative is 1 over 2 times the square root. Then I have to take the derivative of the argument, which is 2x. So 2 and 2 go away, and then I have this constant value which multiplies the function, so this becomes, this derivative is this one. And in the same way, if you compute the derivative of this other term, this is a constant value, so it's been here, you take the derivative, and you get the this quantity. And above you take the derivative of this, which is 2 goes away, so it's q minus 2, and there's a minus here. Okay? Is it correct? It's fine to you? Okay? Just remember this. If you take the derivative of the square root, the derivative of the square root is 1 over 2 the square root. The important thing is that the argument is not zero. Okay? But in our case, the argument is not zero because here it is 1 plus something which is positive, and here it is a constant value plus something which is positive at any point, or at worst, zero. Okay? But Q1 is greater than zero, because if Q1 is on here, the problem is not interesting, because you are not crossing the two means. Okay? If the point Q1, sorry, if the point Q were here, the fastest path would be the line. That wouldn't be easy. So, this is positive, this is positive, these are positive quantities which depend on x, so the arguments are positive and you can take the derivatives. So, solving this problem amounts to find where this quantity is zero. if we want to write it in a different way, we could also state it this way. I'm just eliminating the denominators. Okay. Is it fine to you? Va bene? What's my point in both cases? Doesn't matter, these or these are exactly the same thing. This is an equation of one variable. Okay? So, solving this physical problem amounts to an optimization problem, which is equivalent to solving an equation. A non-linear equation of a unique variable. The unique variable is x, the other are given quantities. Which is something that you have seen in any basic course on numerical analysis. Okay? I think you have seen the second method, method of the Lissacanti. Yeah? So, you already have the tools to solve this, but Professor Bevilacqua will give them to you once again also for systems. But let me address this in a different way. Okay. You can try to address this directly. Now I can also forget about this. I'm just giving you some in some other way. I'm sorry, I'm going to write it in a third different equivalent way. I take this on the other side so that would be V1 times everything here. I divide it by V2 so that it goes away from here, and I take the part which depends on x down here. So this will become x plus this square root, times this square root, sorry, equal to V1 divided by V2, and then here I divide by this and this. Okay? You should stop me now. I just moved the different pieces. You should say, hey, you're doing something which is not necessarily good. This quantity could be zero. So, if this is zero, this is not well defined. Okay? Okay. Put x equal q2. This quantity is zero. This quantity is positive. Because this goes away, but all the other terms are positive. So, x equal q2 is not a solution. So, we can suppose x to be different from q2. Does not solve the equation. So, I can write this. I know, I'm writing this and I'm supposing this because this is not a solution. Also, speeds are positive, So this quantity is positive here. Okay? B1 over B2 is positive. So to solve the equation, this must be positive. This is positive. This is positive. The only things that might be negative or positive are x and q2 minus x. So here, since this is positive, a solution must satisfy it. This has to be positive. It can't be zero. And that this is true if and only if x is between 0 and q. Okay? Because if f is negative, this is negative, but the denominator is positive. If x is greater than q, this is positive, but this is negative. Okay? So we have learned something. Without solving the equation, we have learned that this will never be the best choice. Okay?
Can we always assume that Q2 is positive?
I did it.
Okay.
I gave the orientation in such a way that Q2 is positive. Okay? So what we are given, the information is, the best point where to cross the separation line is on this segment here. Okay? Don't go to up and don't go to down. And now, so let's erase this one. We are sure this one is not the optimal solution. Okay. Let's just keep good things. Let me play a little bit. Let me draw this horizontal line. Okay. And let's make some geometrical considerations. Here there's an angle. Okay? Let's name it theta. And here there's another angle. Let's name it theta 1. Okay? Please, the two angles are not the same because this is the same line, but this is not the same line. Okay, you change the slope. And let's check this quantity here. X divided this square root. X is this length. Is the length. Here we have a triangle, and we also know that this angle is equal to this other angle. Okay? These are parallel lines, and you cut them with a line, so this angle is equal to this one. And here what we are having is this length divided this other length. What is this? The length of this side of the triangle over the length of the hypotenuse. It is the sine of the angle.
Okay.
So this one here, which depends on x, is the sine of theta 1. Okay. Please notice that the angle is a function of x. As we choose x, then we change the angle. Okay, so let me write it here, that theta i's are functions of the chosen point where to cross. Well, okay, now, please, let's check this quantity here. So, this quantity here is... This length here, it's the numerator, and this quantity here, which is the denominator. So it is the length of the hypotenuse divided by the length of this side. Okay. So this is 1 over the sine of the angle. Okay. The sine of the angle is this length over this one. Okay. So this is 1 over the... So this is 1 over the sine of x2, of theta 2, sorry. So, if I write my equation through the angles, what I get is that the sine of theta 1 divided by the sine of theta 2 has to be equal to the ratio of the two speeds, V1 and V2. So, the optimal point, or if you want to say it in geometrical fashion, the optimal angle where to shoot at the separation line must satisfy this condition here, okay? I know the ratio of the speed, I know that ratio of the sine of the angles. Well, this is a well-known law of physics. It's the so-called law of refraction. Okay, so I don't know if in the universities this is taught for to computer scientists, but at least in high school you have been taught this type of results through what happens when I send a ray of light through the air to water, how it reflects inside. And you are given this law, okay, which is known as the Snell-Cartesio law of refraction. But this law is nothing else than the optimality condition of that optimization problem. The solution, the equation that gives the solution of that optimization problem. Okay? In other words, you could philosophically say light and waves move through minimal space paths. Okay? Exercise for you. Let's imagine the same kind of problem, but we don't have two homogeneous means. We have three. You have three, and for the sake of simplicity, otherwise things get a bit more complicated. Let's suppose that the two separation, that the separation of the means is done this way for two parallel lines. Here you have mean 1, here you have mean 2, and here you have mean 3. Okay? And in each mean, the speed is constant, v1, v2, and v3. And you want to move through the fastest path from a point P, which is here, in the first mean, to a point here, which is in the third mean. So you have to cross the first, then the second, and then the third. Okay? Model this as an optimization problem. Okay? Suggestions. Choose the Cartesian axis properly. Okay? And the choice is similar to the previous one. Take this as one of the two and one of the separation lines as the other one. Let's say, for instance, this one. Okay. And then choose, for it to make things simpler, this as the unit length. So that this is 0.10. Okay. If you want to model this as an optimization problem, knowing that in a homogeneous menu, the best thing you can do is move along lines. What are the choices here? Okay, the modeling choices. Well, the choices are where to cross this separation line, where to cross this other separation. So in this situation you have two variables. Okay? If you choose this point and this other point, the path will be this one. Okay? And this would be the point Z. Sorry. Let me use the right colors. This would be the point 0x1 and this will be the point 1x2. So, the variables of the problem this time are two. This one and this one. Okay? In the same way we did before, you can compute the length of this and the time you need to travel over this line. The length of this and the time you need to travel over this other line, and the same for the third line. You sum and you get your objective function, which is an objective function of two variables. Okay? Since you are once again dealing with distances between points, this function will be convex. Okay? And so you can solve the problem computing the point at which the gradient is the zero vector. Okay? But what you have? You have two variables and you have two equations. Okay? So in this more complicated example, you get a 2x2 system. Okay? You get a system of linear equations. And I think Professor Bevilacqua will use this example when he will teach you how to solve non-linear systems of equations. Okay? Unlikely the previous situation, you won't get a nice formula with a nice physical interpretation or geometrical interpretation like this one. Okay? Solution has to be computed numerically. So this is the very first example. coming from physics. Now I'm going to address you a second example. I will just state it mathematically, I will just state it to you in an informal way, and then after the break we make it formal. So I'm giving it as a mathematical problem, as a mathematical, let's say, almost game. These kinds of problems are called point pattern matching. And the problem is stated this way. We are in R2, okay, R2, and we have a set of points, okay? We have a set of K points, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, Q5, Q6, Q7. So, with a general number, we have Q1, Q2, and until Qk, which are points in R2. And then we have another set of other Q points. So let's make an example. P1, P2, P3, P4, P5, P6, P7 in the figure, and more generally you have P1, P2, Pk, all points in R2. My question is the following. How similar are these two sets of points? Are they providing the same pattern? Okay. In other words, can I move these points in the space, maintaining the pattern and making them going to coincide with these others? Or how much close can I get to this? Okay. And by similarity, what do I mean? I mean that I can translate the points, I can rotate the points, I can shrink the points or dilate the points, all of them all together. Okay? I can't do anything else. Is the kind of problem clear? I expect one question. At least one. Am I supposed to bring Q1 over P1? Or can I bring Q1 over P7 and for instance, Q7 over before and so on. Okay? So am I bound to follow the order or not? The answer is, depends on your problem. Okay? You can consider both. Similarity in which the points are ordered, similarities in which the points are not ordered. Okay? Choosing, we are considering both. The making the formulation, the difference isn't that much. Okay? I mean, this sounds like a mathematical game. Okay? Actually, it is not only a mathematical game. This problem has a lot of concrete applications. Okay? Computer vision, computer graphics, astronautics. So you have the map of the stars. You have a position. You have a picture. You know how the stars are made. You would like to know how your satellites are oriented. It has application in biology, chemistry, pharmacology, where you are interested in the alignment of protect structures, in the configuration of molecules. Okay. Also in very simple fingerprints. Okay. I have one, and I make my thumb, you make yours, okay? Or are they similar? Are they the same? Are they coming from the same person? Okay? And the same also for, I don't know the English for it. Calligraphy, okay? The way you write, okay? I have this letter, and this other letter being written by the same person or not. Okay. These are two type of applications where the order matters. Where the order is considered. You want to take the first point onto the first point and so on. Okay? I mean, let me okay. I will make a part of this and a part of this, and this is the first point, this is the second, this is the first, this is the first, this is the second, this is the first. There's no reason to bring this, which is in the center of the thumb, to the extreme part of the thumb. Okay? So, the formulation is a mathematical game, but has interesting application as well. So, we take a 5-minute break and then I show you how we can turn this into an optimization problem.